have sold everything, still I have got some manners. And there's a hole in your head, spilled your thoughts on the floor. We wanted you bad, you wanted it more. The trick is, you do not get on that interstate bus. The catch is, you stay and see what becomes of us. Shake, shake.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada. I'm getting burnt out from schoolwork already, and I'm in Florida, where it's hot as heck.
And soon to be in Hudson. We're so excited to see you. But in the meantime, we're here on the radio together every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. We may be joined by our friend Fatia later. We'll find out when you find out. But we're going to talk about some books in the meantime. Do you want to get us started today, Jada, or do you want me to?
I'll get started. I reread Pride and Prejudice this morning when all the rest of my family thought I was asleep. And it was good going back and rereading it the second time around. I saw things that I didn't the first time. You know, you always do that when you're reading books. I reread the Artemis Fowl series. And yeah, Pride and Prejudice is, if you don't know, a book written by Jane Austen, one of the best romantic comedy authors in the history of ever. It was written kind of not in this century or the last century, or the century before that, I think. It's pretty old, but it's still, the topics I think are still very relevant, and it's about this one young woman named Elizabeth, and she has an interesting relationship with this man named Fitzwilliam Darcy. I think Fitzwilliam is a weird first name. It should be either Fitz or William, but whatever. And at first they don't like each other, but then they slowly turn into loving each other while wondering why the heck the other person is attracted to them or spending more time looking at them. And they're like, I don't want to spend time with them, when they're actually spending time with them. Oh my goodness, what a plot twist. And this might sound familiar because she is basically the OG Hallmark movie channel videos. So yeah.
Yeah, that story has definitely inspired a lot of other retellings sort of that tale or things based on it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I read.
I still haven't read Jane. Austen, but I've seen Pride and Prejudice a couple versions, I think, and enjoy the storyline.
I'm
I've
trying
also seen some adaptations of it.
Sorry. I'm
That's
trying to get
okay.
to Emma and Sense and Sensibility, and neither of them are seem to me as entertaining as Pride and Prejudice, maybe because I got the version of them where the text is cramped into something smaller than my hand. So
That is tough.
might be it.
I've had some trouble with those before when the printing of the book is just too difficult. But the good thing about books like Jane Austen is that they are so popular and they've been out so long that there's like a zillion different versions of them, like publications of them. So the trick is finding one that is formatted correctly. So sometimes that means going to a library or a bookstore and actually holding it in your hands and seeing if it looks like a good fit before you
And I
pick
am,
out the right one.
but I can't read words that are smaller than a centimeter. It's just not my thing.
Yep, that's a challenge for sure. That's cool. On rereading the book, are you finding that, like, when you reread it, do you find that you have different characters that you like more or less on a second or third or fourth reading? I don't remember how many times you've read this book.
This is my third reading. So the first time it was to get a feel for the story, you know, kind of the way that she writes. The second time I focused more like on the details. And now I'm kind of going over it again, seeing what I missed.
But do you have any different either fondness or dislike of characters on repeat readings? Like, do
I
people
like
get to you
all of
more?
them.
You
And
like
like
all of them?
all of the intricate webs of everyone reading. There's this web comic creator that I like, and he said in one of his comics, Emily Dickinson and Jane Austen, other writers of that time, had these kind of poems and writings that made you feel, you know, very intellectual, and you thought a lot about them. Like Jane Austen's 10,000 member cast, and Emily Dickinson's interesting poems. And then Ernest Hemingway, The Old Man and the Sea, was very simple for him to read. And then when people ask him why he likes Ernest Hemingway, he says, because it's intellectual. So I just thought that was very funny. Comics count as books, right?
Of course they do. They're books. They're just a different format of books than a novel, but their books definitely count 100%. So while you were talking about your book, which thank you for doing so, our friend Fatia came. Hooray! Hi, Fatia. Welcome
Hi.
to the radio. Do you have something you wanted to share today?
Yes, I do. I have a poem to share. It's called Vision. I came to the mountains for beauty, and I find here the toiling folk on Spray's little farms in the valleys, wearing their days like a yoke. White clouds fill the valleys at morning. They are round as great billows at sea and roll themselves great billows can be. The mist fill the valleys at evening. They are blue as the smoke in the fall and spread all the hills with the tiniest scarf that touches the hills not at all. These lone folks have looked on them daily, yet I see in their faces no light. Oh, how can I show them the mountains? They are round them by day and by night.
It's very pretty. Is that one you found or one you wrote?
It's one that I found.
Do you know who it's by?
It's by Jessie B.
Nice. It's very pretty. What made you pick that one out?
It's like a poem about nature basically, and like it's like more like a nature season right now, which is spring. And I do love nature poems. They're very interesting.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for nature poems too. I'm definitely drawn to them. Quite a bit. I think it's something that's beautiful and has like, there's like almost a sense of magic to nature because it's so interesting and beautiful and constantly changing and growing. Yeah, that was a very nice poem though. Thank you for sharing. I also have a couple books I can share. I'll start with a middle grade graphic novel that just came out recently. I forget the exact date, but in the past month or so. It's by Vivian Zhao, and I believe this is her debut graphic novel. She's published some short comics before. but it's the first in a series. So the first one's called Etana and the Firebird, and I'm not sure if that's going to also be the series title, but it is a middle grade graphic novel. It's a fantasy graphic novel, and it centers on a couple characters. One who is Etana, who we learn early on is a mermaid who is living on an island by herself, and it's quiet and peaceful, but it's also lonely. And she's there to keep herself safe from magic hunters who would love to capture a mermaid like her. And she does swim occasionally, but she mostly stays on land. She's nervous to swim out too far in case she gets captured. But then one day she sees firebirds flying through the air, and one of them comes very close to the water, and the two of them meet. And that firebird is named Wren. And people notice that the firebirds have returned because the firebirds have been gone from Earth for hundreds of years. And so there's various people trying to find these firebirds. And so Etana and Wren both end up going on an adventure that take them to some new islands. And they also end up on one particular island that is seemingly safe, but there's also a very powerful witch queen there that maybe has some secrets that are related to one or both of them. And so it's the start of their adventure together. They also meet on one of the islands a witch guard in training who has their own story going on as well. And so all three characters are grappling with different things about their families or their pasts or their present as well, and working together to figure all that out. So I think it's a really great start to a series. There were definitely times where I felt like the story was a little confusing because it is a fantasy story and it is, it's a graphic novel, so it's told in panels. So sometimes I was a little confused on some of the aspects of it, but it didn't impact the reading of the story. And I'm curious to see where it goes. I would read the next one for sure. Don't know when that's coming out, but probably sometime in a year or so. But again, that's Etana and the Firebird by Vivian Zhao, and which is Zhou. And it's a middle grade graphic novel, first in a series. Good for people that are excited about fantasy and magic and adventure and friendship amongst that as well. So that sounds like something you'd be interested in. Definitely check it out. The other book that I wanted to talk about is a teen graphic novel, and it came out at the end of April. So this is also available for people to borrow at the moment. And it is called Pillow Talk. It's written by Stephanie Cook with art by Mel Valentine Vargas. And it centers on the main character, Grace Mendes, who is a college student in their first year at, forget if they say the school, but they go to school in Toronto, Canada. And they are close with their roommate, Callie, who's both their roommate and their friend and their classmate. And one night they go out to check out a competition of the Pillow Fight Federation, which is a local league of fighters that go by cool names like Pain Air, Miss Fortune, and Cat Atonic. And they battle with pillows, as the Pillow Fight Federation would imply. And so the way that works, and there's actually Pillow Fight Federations out there. I don't know if the rules are the same because I haven't done a deep dive into the research on these things, but I looked long enough to see that they do exist and some video of people doing them. But at least in this graphic novel, the way it works, their first and only rule to pillow fighting is that the pillow needs to be the first point of contact. So sort of anything goes as long as the pillow is making contact first. So you can kick somebody with the pillow as long as the pillow is between you and your foot. And or you, the person, your foot. You know what I mean? Person, pillow, foot. And so they go to see this match, and Grace, who is a little shy, perhaps a little introverted, and also has some self-esteem issues, some body image issues, is really excited about the Pillow Fighting Federation and feels some excitement about trying to join. And so she, along with help from her friend, come up with an alter ego ring persona for her for what they call, I think they call it like fresh meat night or something like that, where they have new people that sort of try out joining the Pillow Fighting Federation. And so she comes up with a persona known as Cinderhella, who's going to be a hero. They have heroes and heels so that they can have when they, because they're putting on a show as part of this. It is an actual fighting competition, but they're also like playing up on these roles of like that they're like enemies, you know, the good and the evil. And so she wants to be a hero, so she's Cinderhella. So this follows her in her process of developing her persona, developing her confidence, making friends and family with the other athletes in this competition, the scene. And yeah, she does so well in her first competition that they have like of all the newbies, they have one that gets chosen to enter the main lineup. And she does so well that she gets pulled into that. But one thing she's a little disappointed at in that time is that her character goes from being a hero to being a heel. So all of a sudden she has to be a villain and she's not sure how she feels about that. But also her friend Callie is doing social media and her first fight gets a lot of attention. And so the attention that she's getting online is also sort of takes its toll on her, sometimes in a good way, actually. And but also, as you know, people can be quite cruel on the internet. And so she has some hard times with that too. But it's a fun graphic novel about a sort of sports world that I wasn't familiar with, but that seems super fun and interesting. So I had a really great time reading this one. And I think other people would too. And I really liked the art style as well for this one. So I would definitely check out the artist again. So again, that is Pillow Talk, a young adult graphic novel by Stephanie Cook and illustrated by Mel Valentine Vargas. And that is out now. You can get inspired for some pillow fight moves. I haven't had a pillow fight in a long time. Don't plan on it, but I could see it being tempting to join a pillow fighting league. I probably wouldn't because I would hurt myself horribly, but I see that I understand the draw. Seems fun. I had some friends that were involved in an armlet wrestling league at one point that was really fun, where they all dressed up as characters and had a good time. So fun, creative stuff. Those are my book suggestions for the week. Did anyone else have anything else they wanted to talk about today?
Talking about the fact that I haven't read that many books, which is sad because I want to read more books. I read everything in the house.
You have not read, oh, in the house. I was like, you have not read everything, but you've read a lot. But in the
And
house, in the
access
house.
the library in my school.
Well, yeah, I guess you need to see if you can find another source. Do you have a public library card?
The library at my school isn't really big, and the library that we do have is smaller than the one in my school.
I was wondering if they might have like e-resources that you could explore, because we have a lot of e-resources available. I would never run out of books to borrow on there. It'd be impossible.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. But besides that, not really.
And sometimes libraries can get books brought in too, either from their own system or from other systems. So you could probably get just about anything that you would possibly want. Doesn't always work out that way, but I know we can usually get just about anything for our patrons. I have a poem I could read. As you know, I like going to poets.org. They have poems for kids and they often have special lists for different commemorative months or holidays or seasons, or even just like different themes like animal poems, that kind of thing. But since it's Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, I thought I could read a couple poems from that list that they provide. So this one is called Music from Childhood and it's by John Yao, who is still, as far as I know, a working poet. He was born in 1950. And he's an art critic, essayist, poet, and prose writer, and he teaches at Rutgers University. So this is called Music from Childhood. You grow up hearing two languages, neither fits your fits. Your mother informs you moon means window to another world. You begin to hear words mourn the sounds buried inside their mouths, a row of yellow windows and a painting of them. Your mother informs you moon means window to another world. You decide it is better to step back and sit in the shadows. A row of yellow windows and a painting of them. Someone said you should see a blue pagoda or a red rocket ship. You decided it is better to step back and sit in the shadows. Is it because you saw a black asteroid fly past your window? Someone said you can see a blue pagoda or a red rocket ship. I tried to follow in your footsteps, but they turned to water. Is it because I saw a black asteroid fly past my window? The air hums, a circus performer riding a bicycle towards the ceiling. I tried to follow in your footsteps, but they turned to water. The town has started sinking back into its commercial. The air hums, a circus performer riding a bicycle towards the ceiling. You grow up hearing two languages, neither fits your fits. The town has started sinking back into its commercial. You begin to hear words, mourn the sounds buried inside their mouths. It's interesting, the use of repetition in that poem. I liked it. So I'll read one more. This one is called From Blossoms by Lee Young Lee, who also appears to still be active. They're born in 1957 in Jakarta, Indonesia, to Chinese parents. And this is called From Blossoms, and it makes me excited for summer, hopefully, because it talks about fruit. From blossoms comes this brown paper bag of peaches we bought from the boy at the bend in the road where we turned towards signs painted peaches. From laden boughs, from hands, from sweet fellowship in the bins comes nectar at the roadside, succulent peaches we devour, dusty skin and all, comes the familiar dust of summer, dust we eat. Oh, to take what we love inside, to carry within us an orchard, to eat not only the skin, but the shade, not only the sugar, but the days, to hold the fruit in our hands, adore it, then bite into the round jubilance of peach. There are days we live as if death were nowhere in the background, from joy to joy to joy, from wing to wing, from blossom to blossom, to impossible blossom, to sweet impossible blossom. So that was Lee Young Lee. His poem From Blossoms, and it was from Rose. I really liked that one. In addition to loving nature poems, I love poems about fruit or food. I don't know why. Lots of poems about plums and peaches. And yeah, makes me hungry though, and very hopeful for a summer filled with local fresh fruit. It was a rough summer last summer. I'm hoping for this year. Fingers crossed. I want plums and peaches, please. But anyways, those are my two poems for today. Celebrate Asian Pacific American Heritage Month, which is the month of May. And so on that note, we're out of time for today, but we hope everyone out there listening had a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading!